Hello there. You're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Wednesday, the 1st of December. Today, I'm joined by Ines Pinheiro, who is a Watson's Daily ambassador. Hi there, Ines. How are you doing today?
Hi, Peter. I'm really well, thanks. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Still recovering, though, from losing half an hour of my work this morning when I was typing Watson's Daily. But yeah, just about recovered from that. Anyway, what did you find most interesting from today's edition?
Yeah, well, I'm really sorry to hear about that, Peter. But thankfully, well, now in relation to the story, we are welcoming the last month of the year with interesting developments, as it has been announced that the UK Competition Authority, the Competition and Markets Authority, ordered a Meta, previously known as Facebook, to sell Giphy, essentially.
Yes.
So we spoke about, well, you and Duncan were talking about this story on Monday. We got the results today. And to provide a bit of context, so essentially the Competitions Market Authority is unwinding the acquisition. Mm-hmm. So this development is important because it is the first time that the Competition Markets Authority will have unwound a big tail deal. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show the increasing importance that regulators are placing in scrutinizing big tech companies, especially Facebook, now Meta, which has been in the news very often. Mm-hmm. So it's important to consider the implications that this might have in terms of precedent, not only in the UK, but whether this can impact the approach that regulators in other jurisdictions may take regarding not just Meta, but other big tech companies that have been faced scrutiny. So like Amazon, Google, for example. But the main problem with Meta, Facebook, I think, more than acquiring Giphy, is essentially having too much market share and monopolizing this space. Mm-hmm. So as we were discussing this morning, this is not that big a deal in terms of, you know, the scheme of things. The size is not ideal, but GIFs are not essential. I mean, the way I see it, it's more like a feature, you know, that provides some sort of some sort of dynamic within the app itself. So you mentioned that, well, you wonder what this is going to be symbolic in terms of the overall impact. And one side regulator is taking big tech, and maybe this is small enough battle that they can actually win it. And my perspective on this, well, I was just thinking about the issue of sovereignty. These sort of issues are starting to arise in this space, and where does the power lie in terms of influencing the population? So it's a good time for regulators to set the right direction in terms of this. But on the other side, we have seen the huge power of big tech companies, as they come with great legal representation. You and Duncan were talking about this issue on Monday about whether it would result in the Competition Market Authority failing the appeal, similar to what happened with the European Union, failing the appeals, Apple's appeals on tax issues a while back. But, I mean, interestingly, the issue with the European Union and Apple is different because that was a tax fine, whereas this situation, it's a different, it implies a different context, which is the acquisition. So they have reached the conclusion that they have to pretty much sell Giphy. And what can they do now, Facebook, to mitigate this? So there will be a lot of negotiation in this space. And ultimately, the lawyers are going to be the winning party after all this, I believe. But another issue to highlight here that I thought was relevant, you know, you do as much as the law allows you to do. Is this a matter of regulation, or are we at a point where if regulators want to achieve a particular outcome, Parliament would have to get redrafting specific legal provisions for this? And yeah, so what do you think about this, Peter?
Well, I mean, it is an interesting, you know, it's been well flagged that this is a possibility that Giphy would have to be sold. As you identified there, I think this is more than an absolute thing in terms of, I mean, the deal size is small, right? I mean, it's not the biggest thing ever, and it's certainly way way smaller than other major acquisitions by Facebook or Meta or whatever you want to call it. But I do feel that this is going to be, for both sides, a matter of principle. So, for instance, on the one side, you've got the regulators thinking that this, that, you know, maybe that they have a chance at winning against big tech. And if they can do that and they can win, this provides them with a precedent that they can maybe take forwards into bigger things. Now, you did mention the Apple versus the European Commission thing that happened a while back. And I think that, that itself is a bit different because it's not an acquisition. It was a tax thing. But it was significant in the fact that Margaret Vestager, who's the European Competition Commissioner, she made a big thing about it. It was a big fine going to Apple. And the fact that Apple managed to overturn that decision was a huge blow to, I think, the credibility, not only of her, but also of the European Commission as well. Now, I have to say, at this point, I was actually really, you know, rooting for her, hoping that she would win, because I thought this would be a good thing that regulators get taken seriously. But of course, they actually got battered down, and that was that. So here we are with the latest battle between regulators and big tech. It's over something that's a lot smaller, but you know, I just feel that the problem is yes, if it won, then that's great, and it might provide a useful precedent for future cases. But on the downside, if it loses, then it really takes a massive dent to its own credibility. Whereas on the other side, you've got Facebook, who's got loads of money, has probably got, can stick things out for as long as it wants to, and is incentivized to try to make sure that the regulators don't win. So I don't know. I just think that this is an interesting development, but I think that both sides are going to, They're really going to want to win it. So I imagine this will take a bit of time.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the way that I see these stories, essentially, will be a battle of lawyers because Facebook, it comes with an amazing, legal resources and great legal representation in respect to this. So they will be thinking about how to mitigate the risk in respect to this. I mean, should we split up some assets, how do we negotiate this deal for it to go ahead? But essentially, I mean, when I was reading about it, I mean, I didn't think the actual essence of, you know, the acquisition was something really significant, because again, GIFs is just, it's actually like some sort of animation within the app. It's not something really huge that will change the concept of the company, or that will provide some sort of really huge innovation. I mean, something amazing or something greater than that, I would think it's the Meta project itself. That will be interesting to see how it develops in the future and what will be the position of the authorities in respect to this going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that this is going to be a big fight. I think, as always in the real world, the one that wins will be the one that can pay the most lawyers, the most money for the longest time.
Interesting. Well, interesting time for lawyers, and interesting times for aspiring solicitors as well.
Well, there you go. You see, there you go. Right, you know that you've got something to aim for to get into.
Of course.
Into.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
So
looking forward to it.
Indeed.
So, Peter, tell me what story do you find interesting?
Okay, so I found the story I found most interesting today was a story on nepotism. Inditex, which is a company that I really like and I've always really liked. So Inditex, just, you know, for fullness sake, is the owner of Zara. It also owns Massimo Dutti, Pull and Bear, and Stradivarius. Now, I say this because I know that a lot of people feel that, or think that, there's a perception that Zara is a standalone company. It's not. It's just a brand. Inditex is the biggest, is the world's biggest apparel retailer, and it was founded by a guy called Amancio Ortega, who is Spain's richest man, and he's still got 60%, so that's 60% of the shares in Inditex. So he's a very powerful man. And what he's done is he has, now he's actually stepped aside, well, you know, in theory, a few years ago. But he has made his daughter, Marta, the new chairman, or chair of the company. Now she's 37. She's worked for the group for 15 years. So I'm thinking she probably has, I'm assuming that this is the job, the only job she's done since maybe going to university. So I think this is, it was controversial in the sense that no one was expecting it. There is a bit of a management change going on at the top at the moment because, you know, the existing chairman's leaving and things like that. But I think this comes at a very interesting point in Inditex's history, because obviously Ortega has done an amazing job in growing this company into the biggest apparel retailer in the world. But all apparel retailers pretty much had a horrendous year last year. There was lots of closing down of stores and all that kind of thing. But I think ultimately I feel that Inditex itself has done extremely well. And it's managed, yes, it had to close some stores and things, but I think that it is the apparel retailer that has at the moment got one of the best, if not the best, balance between offline and online offerings. As I would have thought, is well placed for the future. So I think, you know, she is getting, Marta Ortega is getting this company at a very good point. You could argue that maybe, you know, the group cut all the fat from the store, existing store portfolio, and actually last year presented a very good opportunity to do that. So now she is now in possession of a very lean company, which has made a lot of changes. It's basically hers to muck up. So I mean, hopefully she won't, and I hope she is good. You know, but it's interesting how this kind of thing happens and how much investors read into it, because this is a company that has for years been seen as a one person, like almost like a one man band, because of the power of this guy, Amancio Ortega.
I agree. And when I think about these companies, I mean, I think about huge international presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of online presence, they have grown a lot as well. Mm. Really good designs. You know, they're constantly updating. They target different demographics as well. And they've been there for years. So basically, it's really interesting what's going on at the moment. And some people might argue that companies like Zara, for example, we were talking before the call, companies like Zara might be like fast fashion. They're not very eco-friendly, perhaps. But yeah, they've done quite well during the pandemic, to be honest. And they offer quite a lot of, well, choice for the consumers, essentially. Yeah. And when I was reading this story, I thought, okay, because Marta is, you know, sorry, I'm pronouncing the name her in Spanish, Marta Ortega.
Oh, there you go. Of course. We want the real deal, right?
Yeah, so, I just confused myself to say it.
No.
It just sounds really weird.
No, I totally agree with you, by the way, because that's why I always say stuff when I come, you know, when I talk about something Japanese, I have to say it in the right way, because it just sounds weird otherwise.
Otherwise, anyway, it sounds like fake.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I don't say sushi, for instance. I say sushi.
Oh, wow.
So that's right. So there you go.
I love that.
If anyone listening to this never learns anything else, you know that the right way to say it is sushi.
Wow.
anyway, please, really continue.
Yes. Yeah. So when I was reading about the story, I thought, okay, so she's the daughter, right? And I mean, investors might think whether this is the best commercial decision, essentially. But I mean, again, this might be the argument because the company is really huge in terms of, well, it owns Zara, Massimo Dutti, Pull&Bear, and Stradivarius, right? But I mean, if you think about it, really, I mean, these sort of decisions are very common in some jurisdictions, in some places, where to pass the company down to your daughter, to your relatives, to your family is quite common. And I made the comment before our call today Amancio Ortega, he must really trust her to keep control of the company. And then Peter mentioned, it might be like a succession plan so that he also can get some sort of control of the company. So that's really interesting point of view as well, because that might as well be the case.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm a bit more cynical, you see. So my thing is like, yes, he's putting her in there, but, you know, it means that he's still got his claws into the company, and potentially using her as the way in, because he is obviously a trusted, you know, she is a trusted, party to him.
Exactly.
So it's an indirect way of him continuing to keep control. But then again, is that a bad thing? You know, he's done quite well. He's done quite well. I mean, there are other, like I say, lots of other companies have been a one-person company and they have fallen apart. I mean, I tell you what, a good example of that is Ted Baker, right? So Ted Baker in the UK was doing incredibly well, you know, really, kicking the butt of a place like Next and things like that. But then it's... chief exec Ray Kelvin, who was seen as Mr. Ted Baker. I mean, like, he was seen as the guru. He had to leave because he was, you know, alleged the whole kind of inappropriate hugging of staff and all this kind of stuff. But by the way, I know someone who knows him very well. And apparently he is like this in normal life. It's not just in store. Every time he would meet someone, he was literally big hug. Like everyone, it's like everyone he meets was like big hug.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, Ted Baker was doing incredibly well. Then he left because of this inappropriate behavior. And then it just seemed like the whole thing fell apart. You know, they got a new management in, but then they got a new CFO who then found there was a massive hole in the accounts. Mm-hmm. Then the people that had taken over from him then had to leave. Then she became the CEO. I mean, it was an absolute disaster. And then you've got other times, you know, when generally speaking, one person who's associated so closely with the, with the fortunes of a company, they are, especially if they're getting on a bit, they do get asked all the time about what are your succession plans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another example of that is, you know, when I was a broker, one of my favorite CEOs, because I used to work a lot with CEOs and things, and a favorite CEO was a CEO of a company that you've probably, most people listening to this probably never heard of, but he's one of those biggest companies you've never heard of, called Nidec, and it makes small motors, basically this guy, virtually every meeting I went to, everyone would want to know, what are your succession plans? What are your succession plans? Who's going to take over when you leave? And like I say, moving back to this, Inditex has been under that pressure for a long time. And now Amancio could say, well, hey, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't call him that because I'm not on first name terms. I don't know him. but, you know, he could say, well, look, what do you want? You know, you market people. You know, I've given you a succession plan and you don't like it. Obviously we'll just have to see how this works out.
Yeah, I
think that he's handing it is being so he's not in it per se, but he sort of is. But anyway, she is being handed this business at, I think, quite good condition. So it will be very interesting to see how she does to either continue or improve it, which I hope she does. I think that at the moment, investors are thinking, well, you know, that's a bit of a shocker and we would rather have someone else. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll bounce back. I don't know.
Yeah, well, but after all, she's been there for, 15 years?
So that's right.
We'll see what sort of experience she's got.
Yes. I hope she succeeds, because it would be great, right? So
yeah,
for her to prove everyone wrong. So
I really hope so because Zara is one of my favorite brands. So I don't want okay. to see the shops closing up, you know.
No, you don't want that.
Right.
But anyway, good stuff. Well, there you go. So, I mean, I guess we'll leave it there for today. But thank you very much indeed, Ines, for your for your energy and insight today. And also, thank you very much, as always, to listeners for listening to this and supporting this podcast. There's not really much else for me to say, apart from thank you very much, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Many thanks. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.